Kianak, first of all, let me say that I will devote these comments to the discussion presented by our Sami sisters, as well as the government in Norway, and this by no means doesn't diminish the important and harrowing information shared by our sister Hannah Glade concerning the conditions of Aboriginal children and the response from the Western Australia government. The same harrowing conditions exist for Indigenous children across the globe, but let me simply turn to the requesters and say the same about the renewable technology and renewable energy and how it's impacting not only Sami but Indigenous peoples everywhere in this kind of unusual actual dichotomy that we find ourselves in as far as the green economy and the lack of outreach directly to rights holders in relation to the impacts and challenges that Indigenous peoples meet. And thank my colleague Ojat for making a reference to both. In regard to the government in Norway, I welcomed your commentary about the Sami Act and the ILO Convention number 169 and your emphasis on the duty and good faith related to consultation, and also your commentary related to free, prior, and informed consent. What I, as well as your references to Article 27 of the ICCPR, what I wanted to share is some important conclusions and recommendations from the International Law Association specific to free, prior, and informed consent, and actually suggest that rather than kind of narrowly depending upon for example, the way that ILO Convention 169 addresses and treats free, prior, and informed consent, to really point government and honestly industry to the progressive developments of international law in relation to Indigenous peoples in this area. And allow me to simply share two points that, again, I think are relevant to not only government, but industry, both those working in renewable technology related to energy, but also mining industry and mining interests. The first comes out of both of the quotes come out of the International Law Association's resolution from the Committee on the Implementation of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. The first one is, states must also comply, according to customary and applicable conventional international law, with the obligation to recognize and promote the right of Indigenous peoples to autonomy or self-government, which translates into a number of prerogatives necessary in order to secure the preservation and transmission to future generations of their cultural identity and distinctiveness. These prerogatives include, inter alia, the right to participate in national decision-making with respect to decisions that may affect them, the right to be consulted with respect to any project that may affect them, and the related right that projects significantly impacting their rights and ways of life are not carried out without their prior, free, and informed consent. The International Law Association is a group of legal scholars that have looked carefully at the content of the UN Declaration. Paragraph 10 of this final resolution, when the report was adopted, states, States must comply with their obligations under customary and applicable conventional international law to recognize and fulfill the rights of indigenous peoples to reparation and redress for wrongs they have suffered, including rights relating to lands taken or damaged without their free, prior, and informed consent. Effective mechanisms for redress established in conjunction with the peoples concerned must be available and accessible in favor of indigenous peoples. Reparation must be adequate and effective and according to the perspective of the indigenous peoples concerned, actually capable of repairing the wrongs they have suffered. And I just simply want to highlight that this is not solely in the context of financial reparations, but reparations overall, including to make something whole or to regain the integrity of, for example, the lands and resources and territory concerned. And I just urge rather than a narrow view, a broad view of how we understand impacts that may be undertaken without the free, prior, and informed consent of indigenous peoples concerned, and welcome the exploration of the developments identified by the International Law Association, which are, I think, largely consistent with indigenous peoples' understanding of the content of their rights, and appreciate that there has been dialogue afforded through the country engagement of the expert mechanisms. Thank you, Cheryl.